On the show today, we have Baker Hill's very own Stephanie Butler talking about the impact of COVID on analyzing credit for risk and the future of lending for credit unions in terms of SBA. So check it out. Before we get into our interview, I just want to give you a quick heads up on our CU Knowledge Hub page. It is our page is just loaded with free downloadable content, which includes white papers, webinars, product guides, case studies, industry analysis, and a whole lot more. And it's all provided by experts and vendors within the credit union industry. So go check it out today. That's CU Knowledge Hub. And now on to the interview. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Baker Hill's very own Stephanie Butler. Stephanie, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it. Everything well in your neck of the woods? Everything going A-OK?
Everything's going well.
Good.
Even though it's getting a little cooler out.
Yes. Everywhere. Yeah. I walked up. I'm in San Diego, and it was even kind of cool here this morning. It was in the 40s. My gosh.
Like, it was 40 here. So you're not doing well.
No, we're not. No, we don't do well. Anything below 60 degrees here in San Diego, we don't do well at all. Yeah. It's
right.
We're getting the parkas out. It's like skiing weather. But anyway, that's a story for the Weather Channel. But hey, let's talk about something really cool here. The impact of COVID on analyzing credit risk. And then we're going to also talk about the future of lending for credit unions in terms of the SBA. But I want to talk about the previous one first. What has been the impact of COVID, especially, you know, analyzing credit for risk? Because it's impacted everything, obviously. So analyzing credit for risk.
Well, it's really interesting because unlike the economic downturn in 2007 and beyond, this happened rapidly. This happened immediately.
Like,
and so, yes, it was just like overnight in a way. And credit unions really didn't have a lot of time to react. And so they had to react very quickly. And that was such a learning curve for credit unions, for financial institutions in general, that learning curve. How it's impacted risk, I think I don't have a crystal ball and neither do you. I think what we can see is what's starting to happen. I'm not sure where it's going to end when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
But one of the things I think credit unions learned immediately was you couldn't rely on past techniques to get you through in the future.
Mm-hmm.
The days of just looking at historical financials,
right,
and saying, hey, that's going to continue, which is how we all grew up. That was our bread and butter in lending.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of gone. They're one piece of information, but we've got to get ahead of the curve on that risk analysis.
Right.
And one of the areas I see is really analyzing things by industry, like NAICS, by total exposure, by product type, by collateral, really kind of doing much more slicing and dicing of the portfolio than we've ever done in the past.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is the FICO score come into play here? Because I've heard a lot about, you know, in the next few years, we're going to be throwing out the FICO score based on what's happened this past year, as well as what's going to be happening here in the next 6 to 12 months. Does that have any play into this at all? Or is that a whole nother ballgame?
I think you're still going to see FICO score. And when you say FICO, I'm going to refer to personal bureaus there. There's also a blended score that Fair Isaac does as well for businesses. But let's talk about those personal bureaus like you and I have.
Sure.
I think what we're going to have to do is understand that they have been impacted in a couple different ways. One is that certain judgments and things have been taken right off the credit bureau. They're not showing anymore. So we're missing that piece of information. We do still see trending on how people are using their personal credit, which is indicative of business, how their businesses use their credit. But you're going to have to do an extra layer of analysis. There's going to have to be more third-party analysis to find out judgments and things like that using other services other than just the credit bureaus that we used to rely on in the past.
Right. And I want to go back to how you started was the crisis back in 2007, 2008 when you know, lenders were throwing money. I mean, not credit unions, but other folks were just throwing money left and right. And, you know, there's, you know, no doc, you know, approvals and things like that. I'm like, what is going on here? It's pandemonium.
Right.
And no wonder that happened, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as a result of that, everybody really pulled back. I mean, really pulled back on the reins here. So is that going to happen again this time around just because of what has happened the last 6 or 7 months because, you know, of all the forbearance going on and just the skip a pay, all that type of stuff. So are we going to pull back way back on the reins here, or is there going to be a greater analysis to go, you know what, let's give these guys the benefit of the doubt. They've been great in the past. You know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt here. So how's that whole thing going to work?
I think credit unions potentially are going to be more willing to give benefit of the doubt, but because of the relationship of the members.
Okay.
But what I will say is I think you're going to see a definite tightening of credit. I think we're already seeing it right now when we deal with clients. We're tightening back on credit. We're doing additional analysis we wouldn't have done before. So where we were always all looking for the very best client, we're really looking for the very best client. And I think certain industries are going to suffer more than others for obvious reasons. But I also think we can't stop it just looking at industries. Credit unions are going to have to look at regionality to this, because an industry in one region may not be suffering in another because COVID impact is different everywhere. So I do think, though, that we are going to see a tightening up of credit, certainly a longer turnaround for credit.
Yeah.
Definitely a longer turnaround.
Yeah.
Even when we work with credit unions and doing member business lending at a small dollar threshold, they're doing more analysis. The years of using that credit score to be able to streamlining is really going to be very small dollar, very simplistic credit.
Okay.
And that dollar threshold for using that is definitely going down. So there's going to be more analysis within, but also just from what our examiners, NCUA and others, are going to expect, they're going to expect some really tightening of those credit requirements.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you're right as well. What are a couple of steps that credit unions can do in this situation right now? Do you have like a, you know, ABC or step 1, 2, 3 for them to kind of help them out through this whole process as well? Because I mean, a lot of us are still there's still a lot of uncertainty out there. So obviously. So what can credit unions do now to kind of set themselves up for success, you know, next year and the year after?
I think we're going to pivot away from origination and talk a minute about managing the portfolio, because I think you have to understand your portfolio and understand where your risks are today, looking at what's going on in your portfolio so that you can then look at that information from an origination, from the new loan side, from that new member coming in and a new request. So looking at the portfolio and seeing what's happening with my portfolio, where do I have concentrations? Where do I need to be concerned about my concentrations, either by product, industry, collateral? I think a much stronger understanding of that is going to be required to get comfortable to do new lending. If I have a heavy concentration in an industry that we have some pretty significant concerns in, I have to know that so that I don't continue to lend in it.
Right,
and right. I can't let potentially low delinquency numbers, perhaps the credit union, because of forbearance and because of other things, maybe has a low delinquency number. They're doing okay.
Right, right.
You can't allow that to say we're just going to go ahead and lend to the same industries we've always lent to. You really have to analyze your portfolio to reflect that information back to the origination side.
Right. Are you referring to like industries that are really being hit hard by COVID right now, where there's a lot of unemployment, unfortunately? Like I'm thinking like the travel industry, the airline industry, entertainment, that type of stuff. Is that kind of the more, I guess, risky, I guess, industries that that folks are looking at? Is that kind of what you're referring to? Or
yes. So you've got your obvious risky industries, just like you said, hospitality in general, restaurants, etc. But then think about that commercial real estate that's all rental. And all of a sudden everybody's working from home. I've got a risk. Yeah. We always thought, dirt is gold, right?
Yeah,
if you lend dirt, it's gold. Well, all of a sudden I could be sitting on some what were very good properties as collateral that have no tenants. I have to think about things like, wow, people can't get out. So now the golf courses I've lent to, all of a sudden, are they getting people on the golf course to golf if we look at more lockdowns coming? There is a ripple effect that starts with the obvious, but then that continuing ripple. Here where I live is in the Indianapolis area, and what we found is that some of our large employers like Salesforce are not sending people back downtown for an extended period of time to work. So consequently, all the downtown services, whether it's Uber, taxis, restaurants, dry cleaning services, think of all those things that are downtown supporting those thousands of employees.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, they may not be hospitality when you think of dry cleaners and others, but all of a sudden, they don't have a market to support.
Yeah.
So we have to get a much broader picture of what are our risks and that ripple effect.
Yeah, you took the word right out of my mouth, because I was just thinking the ripple effect that this has on other industries that you would never know it would even touch it. It's like, oh my gosh, everything kind of affects everything. Let's talk about the future of lending for credit unions in terms of SBA. Let's kind of switch gears here a little bit. And so what's the future here? What's that look like? Again, trying to get out our crystal ball and get as clear as we can. So I know it's difficult, but what's the future?
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting because I did a little bit of research and before this call and looked at how credit unions responded to those PPP loans, payment protection loans, and how they really stepped up. Many institutions weren't even willing, banks weren't even willing to do those PPP loans for existing customers. And the credit union industry as a whole kind of opened up that, made these people members if it was appropriate, and brought them in and did those loans that nobody else was willing to do. So I think what that positioned is a couple things. One is that entrance into growing SBA lending, also an entrance into what will future be very loyal members.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I think we always have to remember that client engagement, that client service, that member service is just going to grow as time goes on. I think this is a positioning time for credit unions with SBA where they can really grow into this portion of the portfolio. Now, I would not say to you, and I think everyone would agree, if you've never done SBA lending, now is not the time necessarily to start. But if you've done SBA lending and you've kind of held off, now is the time to grow it. Now is the time to find that specialist. If you don't have one, grow that part of your portfolio, because that's going to allow you to do some lending that might have been just a little too risky before, because you can get that additional guarantee, additional term, stretch that amortization to make that loan more palatable for both the member and the institution.
Right. I've actually heard credit unions diving in to this, like, hey, you know, this is an opportunity. So, even though it is kind of a baptism by fire type of time to do this type of thing, but I've actually heard credit unions like, hey, let's venture down this road and see where it takes us. You know, it's another opportunity. So, you know, why not? But yeah, I totally agree with you. It's not for the faint-hearted. That's for sure.
Right. And if they have dabbled in it in the past, they know what they're getting into.
Right.
And we talk about this a lot at Baker Hill, but my caveat to them would be, this is the time to have somebody on your staff that understands what do you do on an SBA loan if it does start to turn. That's that person, that workout officer. We don't ever want to see a loan go bad, but those are the people that can really help you understand how you need to underwrite them to make sure that guarantee is strong and that guarantee is secure with the SBA, that you've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. So now is the time to understand what SBA is looking for. And that has been a challenge with the PPP loans. I mean, we're in the middle of trying to figure out what does forgiveness look like. So I think there is probably some, for our credit union, some SBA fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if they can get through that forgiveness time so that they've got the bandwidth, that SBA is going to allow them to be there for their members in ways that perhaps the banks or those not using SBA, they won't be there.
Well, I think there's an opportunity. And that kind of leads me to my next question is, like, what's the significance of this to credit unions? Because for me, I'm thinking, holy smokes, great opportunity here for credit unions to really step in and earn some new business, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think there have been so many people that were businesses and individuals that really felt abandoned by their traditional financial institutions, that they're looking for that service. And many credit unions have been on the front end of that digital experience. They've been more open to it, been very good at it on the retail side. Mm-hmm. So moving that over into the business side is how I think of it. SBA lending and other things, having that digital platform already in place, all they can do is succeed at that point because they're ahead of the curve of many of their community bank competitors.
Right, definitely. All right, I'm going to kind of echo what I said in the last section of the interview. What are some steps? What are some advice that you can give credit unions to really kind of prepare themselves for what's to come here?
And I think this would be true for SBA, but in general, really any type of lending, but we'll use it for the SBA at this part.
Yes.
Understand what you know and what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that SBA allows you to go into lending that you do not understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a mistake that's made by many financial institutions. Oh, I'm going to have that guarantee. So if I don't quite understand this industry, it's going to take care of it. I think that it's absolutely the opposite. You need to really understand the industry. So a step is understand where you should be spending your time lending. Absolutely. Look at that portfolio. Where are you strong and where are you weak?
Mm-hmm.
Stay within your lane of, if you're very good at a certain type of lending, let's continue to do that type of lending. That's where your expertise is, but let's layer on the SBA so you can maybe do a bigger pool of it.
Mm-hmm.
The other step I would say is make sure you have the right people on your staff.
I was thinking that too.
People who can originate SBA and understand what the SBA is looking for, that your documentation is right spot on, and that if something does start to slip, that you have the right people on the other end who know, how do we make sure that we get our money out of the guarantee on the chance that something does go wrong. You really need to have the right people in place.
Yep, indeed, indeed. Where can we find out more information? Is there like a section on the Baker Hill website where there's this type of information? People can go and check it out and kind of use it as a resource?
Absolutely. Baker Hill has done a lot of white papers on these topics. I have done white papers on these topics. So BakerHill.com website has blogs, white papers, cool, and a lot of other information.
Good deal. Well, we'll put that link in the show notes. People can click on it and get right to it and then call you and say, hey, we got some questions here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Stephanie, great. So anything else to wrap up here on this one? I mean, it's so timely stuff here as we're kind of, we're kind of in this weird limbo area of post-pandemic, but then there's these hot spots still popping up, and then fall and winter are right around the corner with us. And so it's like, who knows? But it's just a really interesting time. So anything else to kind of wrap up on this one?
I would say beef up your portfolio management, that proactive management, looking at behaviors, understand your portfolio, look forward in your trends. That is key. Watch those deposit accounts, see what's going on.
Good deal. All right, great stuff. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Appreciate it. Everybody, Stephanie Butler from Baker Hill. Go check them out. Thank you so much. Great stuff.
Thank you. You're great. Welcome. Good talking to you. Good talking to you.